time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, January 31st, the last day of the month. We have about a dozen vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, well, it's continuing. We heard the words atmospheric river earlier on the weather forecast from Gordon McCraw during the show. And, well, there you go. That kind of sets the tone. Small craft advisory in effect until 10 a.m. this morning, and then a gale warning in effect. After that, through Saturday morning. Today, we can expect south winds 20 to 25 knots, gusting to 30, rising to 35 in the afternoon. Combined seas 13 feet at about 13 seconds apart. And rain is in the forecast, of course, on land and on sea. And by tonight, those seas, those gusts could reach, the winds will move around to the southwest a bit, and we'll have gusts as high as 40 knots as that new storm system arrives. Combined seas will rise to 16 feet at about 12 seconds apart. So it's going to tighten up that interval a little bit, and the waves are going to get higher. Right now, the Columbia River bar is on green status. We'll see what happens later in the evening. Today I'm going to be sharing with you another installment from the voyages of the sailing vessel Jane Franklin. I'm going to share Captain Russ Roberts' observations of going through the Panama Canal on the Pacific side. But first, a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. We have 4 inbounders, 4 in our Astoria anchorage, and 5 outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river is the Ken Shin. She is, she's going to the Vancouver buoy. She's coming in from offshore, headed to one of the buoys up at the port of Vancouver there. She'll pass Astoria maybe around 2:30 p.m., maybe 3 p.m. inbound, so maybe you'll see her in the Vancouver anchorage around 9 p.m., and she is picking up wheat. And we have a cable ship coming in, the cable ship Global Sentinel. She is kind of home-ported at the Swan Island shipyard. She has a berth there, and she is doing telecommunications cable installing and maintaining work on the ocean floor off the west coast here. And so she periodically comes in and out of the river. She's a very interesting-looking vessel. And she will pass Astoria maybe around 4 o'clock, and you might see her in Portland by about 9, 10 p.m. The Atlas Leader is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia, headed for the port of Vancouver. In Washington, she has Subarus on board. She's a car carrier, so a very high-sided vessel. Passing Astoria around 4:30, maybe in Vancouver by about 10:30. And the ATB Sound Reliance is arriving from Long Beach, California, headed for the Vancouver anchorage, maybe passing Astoria about 5:30. Her refined petroleum is her cargo, so maybe about 6 hours later you'll see her in the Portland area. Well, I'm going to stop here with the ship schedule so that I have plenty of time to share interesting stuff about the Panama Canal with you. I've been sharing the voyages of the Ketch, Jane Franklin. That's a kind of sailing vessel. She's a yacht. Captain Russ Roberts has been on the Ship Report before, years ago now, talking about a sailing voyage that he did through the Northwest Passage on the top of the world, through an area that was formerly iced up. He sailed through there on a really icy journey and was my guest on the Ship Report. And he let me know through email that he was doing this voyage in the southern part of the world. And so I asked him if I could follow along with that journey with reports on the Ship Report about what it's like to be at sea on a relatively small vessel. This vessel's over 50 feet long, but that gets pretty small when you're out in the big ocean. So I've chronicled their journey with you from Miami to Panama and through part of the Panama Canal. And so I thought most of us are unlikely to go on a journey like this. So I thought it would give you a sense of it, of the challenges and the feeling that a boat can be a world. Excuse me, that a boat can be a world when you are on the water. That's really all you have is you and your boat. So I'm going to share Russ's account today of the final leg of their journey through the Panama Canal. The Panama Canal journey has a break in the middle where many vessels stop. It's called Gatun Lake. Once the Jane Franklin got through the locks on the Atlantic side, flanked by huge vessels and some big tugs, she rested overnight in Gatun Lake and then set off through the locks on the Pacific side. Here's Russ's account, which he sent to me in email. Dawn comes with rising mist as Jane Franklin lays by her pontoon on Gatun Lake, just a mile or two from the exit of the Gatun locks we negotiated last night. A small French sloop, a 30-footer, lies just to the west, a few hundred feet, upon the other red pontoon, a big rubberized mooring buoy. A Panama Canal tug growls in, Breaking the morning calm that should have held only bird calls and coffee, the night was too short. But the advisor pilot is due any time, and we must be ready to get underway, so the noisy tugs haven't awakened us. We wait, and we wait some more. Finally, around 10:30, a pilot launch approaches. We start Jane's engine, and a crew member jumps onto the pontoon to slack our lines. We've seen some ship traffic this morning. A tanker, a small cruise ship, Windstar, a ro-ro pulls in to drop anchor. That's like a car carrier, a roll-on, roll-off vessel. The tugs scurry around like loud water bugs. But the overall feeling is calm. It's busy, but somehow relaxed. The canal hosts between 30 and 40 ships a day. It lacks the frenetic activity I'd expected. I envisioned a maritime JFK or Atlantic Airport. Atlanta Airport, rather. With the pilot aboard, we motor through Gatun Lake. A rainforest surrounds us. Some of the lake's islands are wildlife sanctuaries. Scientists are always here studying how time and climate change affect those wild things that live mainly in the trees. It takes us about 5 hours to transit the lake, motor through the relative narrows of the Culebra Cut. Many people died here during the excavation of the canal 120 years ago. We motor in company with the big container ship, MSC Anzu, bound for the new canal locks. We're headed for the old, original ones. Like last night, we approach the single lock chamber at Pedro San Miguel. The lockmaster is not ready for us. But this time, instead of milling around outside the lock, we head to a set of bollards and tie up. It's a nice place to wait. The sloop we left this morning catches up to us. The canal authority requests that we take it through the last set of locks in a side tow. He sidles up and we secure him to Jane Franklin with four lines, a bow line, a stern line, and two spring lines to keep him from sliding ahead or behind. We'll have the four canal control lines attached to Jane Franklin. We give their crew some Jane Franklin hats and a bottle of wine. They give us a glass container of Ancienne Veal or something or other. It looks good. Once cleared into the lock, the gates open and we motor in. The little boat alongside us is like towing a bug. Except to see him there, we wouldn't know he's alongside. Its crew has sailed the petite vessel here from Normandy. Behind us comes the tanker, the motor vessel Silver Ellie. She'll share each of the lock chambers with us. We get into position with Jane Franklin now, just 30 feet or so from the chamber's exit doors. These same doors have been in service since the canal opened in 1914. The canal men toss monkey fists to my crew. The monkey fists are little rope weights. They're attached to light messenger lines. My crew's job is now to quickly tie the messenger lines to our 7/8-inch canal lines. Once done, the canal men pull our lines to the canal sidewalks and attach them to bollards. The gates all close and the water begins to drain from the lock. It takes about 7 minutes for us to descend to the level of Pedro San Miguel Lake. Our crew members constantly slack our lines as Jane Franklin sinks into the lock. Finished now, the gates ahead swing open, coming dramatically close to Jane Franklin's bow. We advance our power and, with Tok Tok, the tug, still alongside, motor a mile across the lake to the next set of locks. Night is coming fast now. Twilight never lasts long this close to the equator. Our navigation lights are on and the canal lights all blink on. We repeat the process of tying up and slacking off in these last two locks. The only difference is that in the last lock, the mixture of fresh and seawater creates a lot of turbulence as the liquids with distinct, different, specific gravities boil toward equilibrium. I use Jane Franklin's engine and bow thruster to stay in position. Tired now with another long day, Jane Franklin leaves the Miraflores locks behind and in the dark makes her way to the Balboa Yacht Club, where tenders come to get our rented fenders and lines and to disembark our advisor pilot. On the pitch-black water, the confusing lights of Panama City, many ships and boat traffic masking channel markers, Jane Franklin makes her way the last 4 miles to the Flamenco Marina. And that was from Captain Russ Franklin about his journey through the Panama Canal. That's all for now from the Jane Franklin's Voyages of Captain Russ Roberts and her crew. I'll share more with you as information becomes available. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.